Today's shir is Masecht and Nedarim Daf Yud Beis, and we will begin on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. Tar v'tar me nisa pigel osa. As we had discussed in the previous shir, one of the ways of affecting a neder is through hatfasa, taking an item which is already prohibited because of a neder, and comparing the item we now want to prohibit to that item. One of the fundamental halachas of hatfasa is that the item that we're using to be matvis in, the item that we're using as a source of creating a neder, has to be an item which is prohibited because it's a dover hanodur, not because it's a dover ha'osur. A dover hanodur means that it was prohibited because of a neder, not because it's inherently osur. The best example always used is, for example, a piece of pork. A piece of pork is a dover ha'osur. It's inherently osur. Not a dover hanodur is something like a carbon where it became osur because of a neder that made it into a carbon. Ask the Gemara, Boy Ram Bachama, Harei Elai Kibosa Zivche Shlomim Lachas Rikus Domim. If somebody said that this piece of meat should be like Shlomim meat after the Zrikas Adam, which we know that a carbon Shlomim after the blood was sprinkled on the Mizbeach may be eaten, Mahu, what is the halacha? Is this considered and a valid hatfasa or not? Says the Gemara, Idi ka'amar b'kein lishna. If this language that the Gemara just proposed was used, certainly he's comparing to a piece of meat that's eaten by everyone, and it's a regular piece of permitted meat, the teruka matvis, and it's certainly not a valid neder. The Mefarshim explain that carbon shlomim prior to the zrika is certainly considered a dover ha'asr, for even though, as we've discussed many times, there is no issa mi'ila in shlomim before the zrika sadam, because it's kachim kalim, still the halacha is, Taisa says, that basa shlomim is also b'hano b'daraisa, and therefore if somebody was matvis in basar shlomim prior to the zrika, it would certainly be a valid hatfasa. Moreover, the Rosh asks, our Gemara seems to indicate that the moment it becomes mutter is zrikas hadam. Ask the Rosh that that's not actually the case, because the halacha is that the basar of the shlomim is not permitted to be eaten until the Aktoras Emorin. So the Gemara should have said Basa Shlomim Achar Haktoras Emorin. So the Rosh answers that the Zrika is crucial, it's required. If the carbon Shlomim does not have a Zrika, the carbon is disqualified. Haktara is not as critical, and the halacha is that, let's say, the Emrin were lost and Haktara therefore cannot take place, that it still does not disqualify the carbon. The carbon is still a valid carbon, and therefore, since the Haktara is not absolutely critical, the Gemara factored in only the Zrika. The Mefarshim also point out, the Karen Ayer points out, why did the Gemara speak about Basa Shlomim after the Zrika? The Gemara could have spoken about any carbon after the Zrika. Carbon Chatos, carbon Asham. So Karen Ayer answers that a carbon Chatos and a carbon Asham, even after the Zrika, the portions that may be eaten only to the Kohanim, not to the Zorim. So even after the Zrika, they're considered a Dover Hanodor. And that's why the Gemara focused on the Basa Shlomim, which may be eaten by Zorim, by Yisraelim, after the Zrika. Ella, says the Gemara, the says the Gemara, Rami Bachama's question is in the following situation. There's a piece of shlomim meat, which is ready after the zrika, and next to it there's a piece of regular meat. And the Rosh says they don't necessarily have to be physically next to each other. The point is that omazek is there. Somebody's saying that this regular piece of meat should be like this basar shlomim meat. And the question is, mai, what is the halacha? Do we say that this person's intention in making this nether was be korokamatvis? He's referring to the essential point of this shlomim meat. And the essential point of this shlomim meat is that it's a carbon shlomim. Or is he looking at the current status, and at this point the carbon, at this point it's mutter meat because it's already after the zrika? And as the Mefarshim point out, as we've discussed previously, even though we have a rule of stam nedarim lahachmir, here we can't apply the concept of stam nedarim lahachmir, because as we've said, Stam Nedarim Lahachmir tells us that when we know for sure we have a nether, and the discussion only is it a valid nether or not, Stam Nedarim Lahachmir, how broadly to interpret and apply the nether, Stam Nedarim Lahachmir tells us to apply it in a very broad fashion. Here, we're not even quite certain that we have a nether, and therefore, since we're not even quite certain we have a nether, the concept of Stam Nedarim Lahachmir cannot create a nether. However, this concept could be explained even a little deeper, because the Brisker Rav explains, when someone were to have something that's totally mutter, a regular piece of meat, or, and we could say, is it, and I'm being matvis in it, do I mean that the current status, or do I look at the original status? Perhaps we would say that we look at the original status when it was a dover hanodor. However, basar shlomim, even after the zrikas hadam, doesn't entirely lose its status as a carbon. And there are still restrictions. There's the halacha of noiser, the halacha of when it may be eaten, where it may be eaten, how long it may be eaten. So therefore, says the Brisker Rav, we don't know how to understand what this person means. Does he mean it to compare it to its current status? And at this current status, it's not a dover hanodor anymore? Or does he mean to compare it to its original state, which a basar shlomim, a dover hanodor, a carbon which is a dover hanodor, which is the paradigm of hatfasa b'dover hanodor? Ask the Ran, even basar shlomim, even after the zrika, still has in it parts that may not be eaten to the Yisraelim. The halacha is that the chaz of a shoik are eaten only to the kohanim. The halacha is that people who are tamei may not eat of any portion of the basar shlomim even after the zrika. So ask the Ran, why, when comparing to this meat, even after the zrika, and even if we follow the current status, do we say that he doesn't mean the chaz of a shaykh, which are still osir to Yisraelim? So the Ran, this is the way the Shaios HaTshuvos Sridei Eish explain what the Ran says. He says the chaz of a shaykh that's not permitted to be eaten by Yisraelim, it's not because the chaz of a shaykh are a dover hanodor that the Yisrael prohibited himself from eating. The chaz of a shaykh that may not be eaten by Yisraelim is because the Torah says that these parts of the carbon may only be eaten by the Kohanim and not by anyone else. So it's not a dover hanodor, it's a dover ha'osur. The Torah asserted it from Yisraelim. Certainly a dover ha'osur cannot be a subject of atfasal. So the chaz of a shaykh cannot be what he meant, and would not be able to validate and affect the nether. Amar Rava, so the Gemara attempts to answer the question of Rami Bachama. When somebody is matvis, do we look at the current status, or do we look at the original essential status? Toshma, our Mishnah says, Noisru Pigel. that if somebody is matfis in noiser upigel, it's an effective hatfosa. Says the Gemara, for noiser upigel lachas rikus tamhu. By definition, when does something become noiser? After zrika. That means the animal, the carbon, went through all of the avoidas, with zrika being the last and essential avoidah. Then there's a certain amount of time by which the animal, the carbon, should be eaten up, and then it becomes noiser. So we see that when somebody is matfis in noiser, we don't follow the current status, because the current status is that it's a davar osur. And even though now it's lachas rika, he's referring back to the original essential status when it was a carbon. The Rishonim discuss, what about pigel? So the Ran says that pigel actually should be deleted from the Gemara, because a carbon becomes pigel when the Kohen has an improper machshava as he's bringing the carbon, and that could even happen prior to the Zrika. Tosfos says that the Gemara mentions pigel because typically pigel and noiser are lumped together. The Rosh explains that the Gemara says in Masechta Zvachim that even pigel does not become pigel atch yikvu kol matirav. If the Kohen had an improper machshava, but he did not complete the proper processing of the carbon, that carbon doesn't become pigel. So it only became pigel after Zrik. It only gets the status of pigel, and that's why the Gemara could have mentioned pigel. So we clearly see that even something after Zrika, we consider it to look at the original status. So the same in our case of the Shlomin after the Zrika. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Huna B'Reid Rav Nosson, there can't be a proof from our Mishnah. But Noisa Shal Oila, because our Mishnah is referring to carbon Noisa of Oila. By Oila, the Zrika doesn't really change the status. A carbon oila can't be eaten prior to the Zrika, nor after the Zrika. So since it's referring to a carbon oila, there's no difference of Zrika, and that's what the case of our Mishnah is referring to. There's a machloikas ha-mefarshim, how now to understand our Mishnah, according to this understanding. Do we have to say that when the Mishnah says noiser, it clearly only is referring to noiser shel oila? But a different type of noiser, perhaps it would not be an effective atfasa. That's the way most mefarshim learn. The Rishash seems to say that since we have a case of noiser, where zrika makes no difference by carbon oila, therefore, even by other noisers, where zrika is a factor, they all have the same din. Just for the record, how does a carbon oiler become nicer if it's not eaten? The halach is that if it's not burnt on the mizbeach in the proper time, it becomes nicer. Ask the Gemara, if that's what the Mishnah means when it says nicer, because it's a carbon oiler, whose rikam is not a factor, im kein lisnei baser oiler. So the Mishnah should have spoken about oiler. Why does it have to mention nicer and pigel? So the Ran says, the Gemara could have given a very simple answer. As we learned in the previous year, and we'll discuss it, Mitzvah Shem, in the next year, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that when we say carbon, imra, eitzim, deer, we have to say ki carbon, ki imra, ki deerim. Noiser, pigel, utame, as we discussed in the previous year, are exceptions where one does not have to say ki noiser, ki pigel, ki tame. And that could be the reason the Mishnah chose to mention noiser, pigel, utame, to tell us that here the prefix of the chof is not necessary. But the Gemara says a different teretz. Says the Gemara, loy mibayi kamer. The way to understand the Mishnah is it goes without, it's unnecessary to say. Loy mibayi basa oila. Certainly if somebody was matvis and basa oila, the osir, it's an effective nether. The bakarbon ka matvis. He's matvis in a carbon. And as we explained, a carbon is the best example of atfasa. However, nice or pigel the oila tzricha. The chiddush of Mishnah is that even if it's a nicer of oila, still it's an effective hatfasa. Kusak daita chamina. One could possibly say the be'issa noiser, be'issa pigel, when one is being matfis in noiser or in pigel, he's not going back to the carbon aspect of it. He's going back to the iser part of it. The noiser is a davar aser. Pigel is a davar aser. And as we said from the beginning of the shir, hatfasa b'davar aser is not an effective hatfasa. Havelay kamatfis b'davar aser v'loy mitzer, and shouldn't be an effective nether. Kamash malon. That's why the Mishnah has to teach us that hatfasa in pigel or noiser, we assume he's not being matfis in the pigel part, or in the nicer part, he's being matfis in where they emanate from. They emanate from the carbon, which is a davar hanader. As Tosfos, now that we have our Mishnah having taught us that when somebody is matfis and pigel and nicer, we don't look at the current status; we look at the original status that it was a carbon. So why don't we have now an answer to Rami Bachama's question, where Rami Bachama asked if somebody is matfis in Basar Shlomim after the Zrika, we should say he's not being matfis in the current status, he's being matfis in the original status being that it was a carbon Shlomim, a carbon, a Dover Hanoder. So Tosfos gives two answers. The first answer is we cannot compare the two situations. Because when we have Pigel or Noiser, and our options are, what is he being matfis in? Is he being matfis in the pigel noiser, the current status, or is he being matfis in the original status that it was a carbon? Both a carbon and pigel or noiser are dover are things that are prohibited to be eaten. So they're both things that are prohibited to be eaten, and the Mishnah teaches us he means the original status. However, in the case of Rami Bachama, there's a very big difference between the original and the current. The current is something that's mutter to be eaten. Basar shlomim lachas rika. The original is something that's also to be eaten. It's a carbon. And therefore, the two situations are not similar. Another teretz that Tosfos gives is that pigel unoiser, by definition, are considered a carbon. Because pigel unoiser emanate from being a carbon. You can't have pigel unoiser if you didn't have first a carbon. However, basar shlomim after the zrika is regular piece of meat, and therefore we cannot compare pigel v'noiser to basar shlomim after the zrika. Meisrei. So Gemara still tries to answer Rami Bachama's question, and as the Rishonim point out, throughout Shas, what the Gemara would have the wording the Gemara would have used here is toshma, not meisrei. But as we've said many times, Lashon Nedarim Mishuna, the wording, the terminology used in Masechta Nedarim is different than throughout Shas. And here too, we have another example where it says Meisvei instead of Toshma. The Gemara says in Masechta Shvuos, Eze Issa HaOmer B'Torah. What is the example of a neder? Omar, if somebody said, Hareini Shloi Oichel Basar V'Shloi Eshte Yayin, I won't eat meat or drink wine. And the Ran points out that this is actually not a lashon of a neder, going back to what we discussed at the beginning of Masechta. The difference between a neder and a shvua is that a neder is an issa cheftza, a shvua is an issa gavra. So if somebody's saying, I won't eat, I won't drink, that's an issa gavra, it's a lashon of a shvua. So the Ran says the point of this Gemara is not to teach us proper terminology of nedarim, and the Gemara didn't focus on the proper way of articulating the neder. The Ramban, however, says, from here we see that if somebody said a neder, b'loshen shvua, it's an effective neder. And actually, even in understanding the Ramban's opinion, there are two ways of understanding it. Some say what the Ramban means, that it's an effective neder medaraisa, because it's going to be considered like a yad l'neder, though we just finished learning the sugyas, that yadus nedarim are effective nedarim. Others seem to suggest that it's a neder midrabanan. The Rabbanan said even though the proper terminology was not used, it will have a din of a neder midrabanan. So somebody says a neder shloi oichel besar, shloi oichel besar, I won't eat meat, shloi oichel yain, I won't drink wine, ki yoyim shemes be aviv, like the day my father passed away. And from here, the Gra says is the mekar of the minig, that the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah say that one should fast on the day of his of a parent's yahrzeit. The Mefarshim explained, the Marim Mintz explains why should one fast on such a day. One is because it's a day of Reya Mazli, a day that somebody's parents die is a day of a bad mazel, and therefore you should fast that day. Another explanation he gives is that every year on one's yahrzeit, the neshama is judged again in the Olam HaEmes, so fasting is helpful to that neshama. And the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch along the same line says that when one's children do tshuva and act properly, it adds chusim for the neshama of the parents, and they come to a better place in Gan Eden. However, the Paiskim discuss if this fast is required under all circumstances. The Ramah says that if the yahrzeit falls on Shabbos or Rish Chodesh, he doesn't have to fast. Darach HaShulchan says that if one has difficulty fasting, he can redeem the fasting with paying to tzedakah the value of the food he eats that day. The Yad Yitzchak says one who's too weak to fast can ask someone else to fast in his place. The Chasam Sofer says that if one's parent, prior to his passing, told the children, "I don't want you to fast on my yahrzeit," the children don't have to fast. The Mefarshim also say, the Stipler would say that he and his brother-in-law, the Chazon Ish, did not fast on when they had yahrzeit for a parent, because they spent the entire day learning, and that he said that learning is more important for the neshama than fasting, and if one is fasting, it's difficult to learn, so therefore he said it's more important to learn the entire day than to fast. The Shail Shetshuvas Michetz Yitzchak explains that particularly in the Chassidish community, the minig is not to fast on a yahrzeit, and that minig came because people, it's more difficult nowadays for people to fast, and what they should do instead is in shul, after davening, bring some cake and some schnapps, some food for people to eat, and that would be considered like achnosos orchim. God lachnosos orchim yois mekabolos pnei shechina, and therefore by doing this, it's as good or better than fasting. The Trumas Hadeshin makes an interesting observation based on our Gemara. There's a shaila, what day should be observed as a yahrzeit? The day of the death or the day of the kfura of the nifter? Particularly many times it could come out that a person is buried not on the day of the p'tira, and what day should be kept as a yahrzeit? There is a reason to believe, says the Trumas Hadeshin, that the day of the kfura should be kept as a yahrzeit, because we find that Rivka said to Yaakov, "Lama eshkal shneichem yom echad? Why should I lose both of you on the same day?" And the Gemara says, Rivka is saying in the Vua that she didn't even realize that Yaakov and Esau were both dying the same day. And what happened? Because we know that when Yaakov was brought to the Maris of Machpelah, Esau came to complain, and Chushim ben Don killed Esau, and Esau was buried that same day as Yaakov. So we see that we follow the day of burial, because Rivka said that they both died the same day. They didn't both die the same day, they were both buried the same day. However, says the Trumas Hadeshin, our Gemara that clearly says Kiyoyim Shemes by Aviv, we follow the day of death, so we should keep as the yahrzeit the day of the death. The only question that comes up to Mishnah Berurah and many Paiskim discuss, what about the first year? Because the 12 months of Avelis are kept from the Yoyim HaKfura. Where do we keep the yahrzeit in the first year? And the Mishnah Berurah quotes two opinions. One opinion says that even the first year, the yahrzeit should be kept on the day of the death, even though the Avelis will continue until the anniversary of the Yom HaKfura. Other opinions, however, say that we follow in the first year the Yom HaKfura. It's only in later years that we follow the Yom Shemesbay. Ki Yom Shemesbay, Rabbi, if somebody made a nether that he's going to keep, that he should not be allowed to eat, like the day his Rebbe passed away, and from here Rabbi Kiva Eger says one should one who has a minhag to fast on the yard side should also fast on the yard side of his Rebbe Muvik. Kiyoyim shenerag by Gedalia ben Achikam. We know that the Gemara says in Masechta Rosh Hashanah that Gedalia ben Achikam was the governor who was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar over the Jews who remained in Eretz Yisrael after the Churban Bayis Rishon, and he was murdered, which triggered many tragic events, ultimately leading to the complete expulsion of all Jews from Eretz Yisrael. And there's a machloikis exactly when Gedalia ben Achikam was killed. Some say that he was killed on the third day of Tishrei, which is the day that we keep Tzom Gedalia. Others say that he was actually killed on the second day of Tishrei, which is Rosh Hashanah. However, since we don't fast on Rosh Hashanah, Chazal established that Tzom Gedalia should be kept on the third day of Tishrei, a Nitcha. And this machloikis would be very relevant l'aloch l'maisa, because the aloch is that if someone makes a bris on a day of on a fast day, which is a nitcha, he doesn't have to fast the entire day. So if Tzom Gedalia's real date is the third of Tishrei, then one would have to, even a Baal Bris would have to fast the whole day. If it's really considered a nitcha, then he could fast, then he doesn't have to complete his fast. And the situation here is that, as we're going to explain later, that the person made a neder that even though this day is already also to eat, because Chazal established it as a fast day, he made a neder that he's not going to eat on this day. Or if he makes a neder, Kiyoyim Shirisi Yerushalayim B'Chabonai, I should not be allowed to eat today like the day that I saw Yerushalayim when it was destroyed. And the Mishnah Berurah says from here, there are people that say that the first time a person sees Yerushalayim B'Chabonai, he has to fast. If the day that we're discussing, the day his father day died, the day his Rebbe died, was a day that he had a neder that he's not allowed to eat that day, we could have here an effective hatfasa. Ask the Gemara Hechidami, exactly how does this hatfasa work? Lavki going to koi b'chad b'shabbos to mispei avua. We're going to explain the Gemara the way the Ran explains the Gemara. He's standing on a Sunday, that the first Sunday of Nisan, which is the anniversary of the day in which his father died. His father died on the first Sunday in the month of Nisan, and 7 years later, on the first Sunday of Nisan, this person says, "Let today be like the first Sunday in Nisan." And our question is, even though there were many Sundays of Nisan in between this day and the day that his father died, that he did not accept as fast days, yet we said Osir. So isn't that our Shaila? Shmami not be Karu the Matvis. When we have a question, we're saying that he's comparing today to another day. Do we compare to the most current, the most recent first Sunday of Nisan, which was not the day of a yard site? Or do we compare to the original first Sunday of Nisan that he's referring to, that was a yard site? And of course the Rishonim say, we don't discuss before his father died, because those Sundays have absolutely no significance. And the comparison is like we go back to the beginning of a shir. When we speak about the Karban Shlomim, our only two options are, do we look at the Basar Shlomim now after the Zrika, or do we look at the Basar Shlomim before the Zrika? But nobody suggests that we should look at the animal before we were Magdish it, because that has absolutely no halachic significance. So from here we see that we go back to the original essential day. Similarly, by the Karban Shlomim, we should go back to the original Karban Shlomim, the Karban Shlomim when before the Zrika. Don't we have an answer to Rami Bachama's question? Answers the Gemara, the Shmuel Hachyitmar. The case of Shmuel was Am Shmuel v'hu shenadu by Mois v'yayim ve'elach, that he was bound by a nether all the days, every first Sunday in Nisan, he always fasted. So whatever Sunday in Nisan we're going to compare today to, will have been a fast day. And certainly, therefore, it's an effective atfasa, and it's not an answer, it's not a proof to the situation that Rami Bacham is discussing. Ask the Ran, if Shmuel is referring that he's standing today on the first Sunday of Nisan, and all of the Yahrzeit, all of the first Sundays of Nisan that are the Yahrzeit, and the question is, why does the Gemara focus on the date of the week, on the day of the week, not on the date of the month? But that's the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, were fast days, and therefore they're all Dover HaNodars, and therefore they're an effective Hatfasa. Asked Ran, if so, that all the days would that he could compare to were days that were Asa B'Neder, so then why do we need, and why do we have a question if it's an effective Neder? It's certainly an effective Neder. Answers, what is the Gemara telling us? So Duran says that although our Gemara leaves us in limbo on this question, the Gemara in Shavuos discusses it, and the Gemara in Shavuos gives two answers. One answer is that the Chiddush is that one can consider Tzom Gedalia a day that's osur in fasting by a neder. That if one made a neder not to eat on Tzom Gedalia, it's considered an effective neder, even though it's anyway osur to eat on Tzom Gedalia. It's a fast day midrabbanon. Still, if one makes a neder not to eat on that day, it's considered a dover hanoder. That's one way of understanding what Shmuel is teaching us. Another explanation what Shmuel is teaching us is that Shmuel has explained to us how we, what is considered a dover hanoder in which hatfasa is effective. For one could possibly think that the only example of a dover hanoder is something like a carbon. A carbon is also to everyone. But a dover hanoder, where the nether is a limited nether, it's only also to certain individuals, like our Gemara, a yard site is a yom hanoder, it's a day that's also to eaten only to the person who has yard site on that day. So I would say that perhaps it's not considered dover hanoder. That's what Shmuel is teaching us, that a dover hanoder, even though that the nether is only to a limited population, it's still considered a dover hanoder. So Gemara still tries to answer Rami Bachama's question. Amar Ravina, Toshma. The Mishnah says in, we're going to learn the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel. Kechalas Aaron uKutrumasoi. If one is matvis in the challah, we know that when a dough is prepared, challah must be removed from it. Or if one is matvis in truma, it's not considered dover hanoder, they're considered a dover osur, and therefore it's not considered hatfasa. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky makes an interesting observation. He says the Mishnah calls challah, the challah that we remove from dough, challas aron. So he says, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Aaron HaKoyin is the Koyin that never ate challah. Because the chiyuv to remove challah from the dough only began after Klal Yisrael arrived in Eretz Yisrael, and Aaron never arrived in Eretz Yisrael. So why is it called challas Aaron? Says Rav Yaakov that, yes, Aaron HaKoyin never ate challah. But all the future generations of Kohanim that eat challah, why do they eat challah? Because their great-grandfather, Aaron HaKoyin, was assigned this matnas kuna of challah. That gives them the right to eat challah. And therefore, whenever a Kohen eats challah, he's eating challah because Aaron, because he's a grandchild, he's a descendant of Aaron. And the Rishonim asked the obvious question, how is Truma designated? Where one going and separating and designating that this portion will be the challah, this portion will be the truma. So why is challah or truma not considered a dover hanoder? The Ran answers that since the obligation to remove the challah, to remove the truma, is a gzeiros hakosef, it's something that the Torah tells us to do, it's an obligation, therefore it's not considered a dover another, it's considered a dover her osur. And as the Rambam explains a little further, challah, truma are not something that one can donate on their own. I can't just go say I'm going to give truma. I can't just say I'm going to challah, I can give tzedakah. But challah, truma have rules. What is challah and what is not challah? and what is truma, what is not truma. So they're obviously gzeiros hakosav, and that's why they're considered a dover osur, not a dover hanodim. Toisus harosh, however, Toisus and the rosh take a different approach. They say, we know that produce may not be eaten from before the truma is removed because it's tevel. When one takes off the truma portion, the truma is a continuation of the tevel, because either Yisrael was not allowed to eat any of the tevel, and the truma part, the part that's designated as truma, is a continuation of the tevel, and therefore tevel, which is certainly a dover osur, truma to me is a continuation of the tevel, and therefore it's considered a dover osur, not a dover anodr. So the Rabbi Yosef Engel says, from here we see a very big chiddush, that we always would have thought there's something called tevel and there's something called truma. Here we see that as far as the Yisrael is concerned, according to Tosfos and the Rosh, truma is really a continuation and an extension of the Issa Tevel. So the Mishnah said that being matfis in chalas, aron, or trumasoi is not an effective hatfasa. What do we seem to know from the Mishnah? Hakatrumas lachme toida. When a carbon toida is brought, 40 loaves had to be brought, 10 of each of four categories of chalas. 10 are baked as chametz loaves, 10 as matzah loaves, 10 as matzah wafers, and 10 as scalded matzah loaves. And after they're baked, one loaf of each type is given to the kohen. The Mishnah is teaching us, seemingly, that if one were matfis in those chalos, osur, it would be an effective hatfasa. Now says the Gemara, typically, when is this truma? When are the trumas of the lach metoida removed? The trumas lach metoida, lach is rikustamuhu. Typically, the truma of the lach metoida, the part that's given to the Kohanim, is after the Zrika. Now, after the Zrika, we're considering it still a Dover Hanadr. So don't we see that when we look at something, we don't look at it at the current status, we go back to its original status, that it was a carbon tiger, a Dover Hanadr. So we see, similarly by the Bosses Shlomim, after the Zrika, we don't look at the current status, we go back to the original status, that it was a carbon shlomim, a dover hanodah. Ema, says the Gemara, that's not the way to understand the Mishnah. Trumas lachme toida is not a dover hanodah, because trumas lachme toida that's given after the zrika, at this point it's completely mutter, and therefore it's not considered an effective atmosa. What is the Mishnah teaching us? That if one were matvis and trumas alishka, the machtz shekel that's donated to the and put in the special lishka, from which we've learned the Gemara Masechta Shkolim, they used to then bring pushkas and take out the coins, that's considered an effective atfasa. Machtz shekel is certainly effective atfasa, because machtz shekel is a donated item. I donate the machtz shekel. That would be also an effective atfasa. Aval, if one were matfis in trumas lachme toida, my what would be the halacha mutter? Because at this point, after the zrika, it's mutter, and it can't be effective. It cannot be an effective hatfasa. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, listen lachme toida. When the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel teaches us examples of an ineffective hatfasa, the Mishnah should have included this case, because to teach us the lachme toida, which, as we learned a moment ago, one should certainly consider perhaps should be an effective atfasa, because maybe I'm being matvis in the original essential state of it being a carbon, and it's still not atfasa. Truma, which, as we learned, is certainly considered a dover osur, is not effective atfasa. So why didn't the Mishnah teach us that then? Answers the Gemara, what the Mishnah wanted to teach us was that truma slach mitoida truma sahi, that the truma of lach mitoida is considered equal and in the category of the truma and chala of Aaron, and that's why the Mishnah used this broad category to teach us that truma slach mitoida is to be included in that broad category. V'bayisayma, says the Gemara, another teretz. And as the Rishash explains, the reason the Gemara tells us another teretz, because the Gemara Masech the Menachos actually asks a shayla, what is the din of Trumas Lachmei Toida? Does it have a din of Truma or not? And the Gemara doesn't answer that shayla. If our Gemara's first teretz is correct, we have a clear proof that Trumas Lachmei Toida has the halacha of Truma. So since the Gemara doesn't want to be locked in to holding that Trumas Lachmei Toida has the din of Truma, the Gemara gives another teretz. We assumed that Trumas Lachmei Toida always takes place after the Zrika. Says the Gemara, Trumas Lachmei Toida nami kaidim Zrika stamim hu. We can have an example where the Lachmei Toida are removed even before the Zrika stamim. Kigoin, the Freshin of Elisha, that they were separated when they're still dough. And as the Rishonim point out, it doesn't even have to be necessarily when they're still dough. They could have been separated before the Shechita, that the halacha is that as long as it was separated before the Zrikas Adam, it would also be an effective, it would also be effective. And therefore, the case of Trumas Lachmei Toida is not automatically after the Zrikas Adam that we could compare to our Shaila of the Zivchei Shlomim, of the boss of the Zivchei Shlomim after the Zrika. The reason the Gemara spoke about when it was separated as dough, because the case that the Gemara is going to bring here, the member of Tuvi, refers to the case when it was separated as dough. But actually it didn't have to be that. It could have been baked and separated before the Zrika also, it would be an effective hafrosha. Kihad amr of Tuvi ba kisna amr shmul. Lach me taidish ofen ba bachalis. If somebody baked instead of baking 40 loaves, he baked 4 large loaves, one of the each 4 types of chalas, yotza, he has been mekayim the mitzvah. Ask the Gemara for ksiv aborim. The Torah says we should bake 40 loaves. Says the Gemara, le mitzvah. That's only a mitzvah. It's not obligated. Ask the Gemara, the haboy le mishko truma. We have to separate truma from the loaves to give to the kohen. The chitema, if you'll suggest what happened here was, the shakacha de rifta akula, he baked 4 large loaves. One of chametz, one of matzah, one of a matzah wafer, one of scalded matzah, and he gave one of the 4 types to the kohen and kept the other 3 for himself. Says the Gemara, that is not acceptable. Because atnan, the Mishnah says, im sechta menachis, echad mikol karbin, shlayita mikarbin lachaveroi. We can't go give the kohen one type and be mekayim hafroshes truma lachmei toida that way. We have to give the kohanim from each type of bread. V'chitema. So what will you say? The shakel prusa mikol chad v'chad. He took these 4 large loaves and he takes off a piece from each one of the large 4 breads. V'tanan says the Gemara, that would also not be acceptable. Echad shlayita prusa. We can't just give the kohen a piece of bread as the truma. We have to give him an entire loaf. So how does this work? Ella, the freshino belisha, that he took a dough. He made 4 large doughs, and here we have a machlokes rishonim how to explain what exactly happened. Some rishonim say that he started off with 4 large loaves, and that from every large loaf he separated one piece that he bakes as a separate loaf to give to the kohen. So actually he's going to be baking 8 4 loaves with 9/10 of the dough, and then 4 loaves with 1/10 of the dough. Other rishonim say that would not be enough. He has to start with a large dough, cut it or divide it into 10 equal pieces, give one and then designate one of those pieces and bake them to give to the kohen, and the other 9 pieces can be recombined and baked together. And that's what happened. And now shokel chad mechametz, he gives one of the chametz and one of the chalas that are one of the challah dough, one of the chametz doughs, one of the rikikim is the wafer doughs, the revuk is the scalded matzah dough, and that's what he gives to the kohen. But all of this was done before the Zrikas Adam. So we have a situation that you can have challahs toida, trumas challahs toida, before the Zrika. our Shaila that Rami Bechama that we've been trying to answer is referring to Basar Zivchei Shlamim after the Zrika. We can't use the case of Chalas Taida to answer and be a proof to that Shaila, and therefore our Shaila of Rami Bechama, if someone was Matfis and Basar Zivchei Shlamim after the Zrika, is it an effective Hatfasa or not, is still not answered.